You know how long I've been listening to Mr. Wayne sing? I'm telling how old you are, Mr. Wayne, or at least kind of almost 52 years. Almost 52 years, right? I've been listening to him sing. I think I was listening to him sing in my mama's womb. And because I know she was following the Liberty Boys. And so, you know, so I've been listening to Mr. Wayne sing forever. And I'm not mad about that. So thank you, brother. And what's really awesome is that Mr. Wayne didn't know exactly where I was going to be in God's Word. He didn't know the message that I was going to be preaching this morning. But I love what he sang. The name of the song is "I Sing Because." In other words, God did something to him. God reached down to him. God initiated the relationship with him, and it changed him. And it wasn't just something he heard. It wasn't just something he saw. It was something he experienced, and there was a result, right? He lived his life out loud. He said, "I sing because." In other words, he performed an action. He did something because of who God is in his life. And that's really what the message is about this morning. I want you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be in Luke chapter 8 in God's Word this morning. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard or have you ever made this statement before? Practice what you preach. Have you ever heard that before? Right? Have you ever said that to somebody before? Right? You've seen something that didn't line up with what you heard, so you said, "Hey, practice what you preach." Or you've been told that, and it made you mad, right? It made you mad because you're like, "What do you mean, practice what I preach?" But, you know, truth is truth. It hurts sometimes. Maybe you've said this before, or maybe you've heard this before. If you talk the talk, then you have to do what? Walk the walk. You ever heard that before? Hey, parents, have you ever said that to your kids before? Right? You hear them talking that smack? And you're like, "Hey, if you can talk it, you better prove it by walking it," right? If you talk the talk, then you have to walk the walk. Well, when I was coaching basketball, one of the statements that I made nearly every practice, I mean, my kids, sometimes, I say my kids, they're grown men now, but sometimes my athletes, they'll text me and they'll say, "Hey, Coach Thomas, I remember when you said this. Hey, Coach Thomas, I remember when you said this." And one of my athletes actually texted me just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Coach Thomas, I remember when you said this." And it worked out good because I said, "You know what? I'm going to put that in my sermon." I used to say this all the time. You better practice the way you want to play, because when it comes time to play, you'll play the way you practice. Now, my boys didn't like to hear that, right? Because here's what they wanted. They wanted practice to be easy. They wanted practice to be kind of fun. And kind of like on their terms. But here's the thing, the game ain't ever on your terms. And so if you practice that way, that's the way you're going to play. And that's what I used to tell them, right? You better practice the way you want to play, because you're going to play the way you practice. What it comes down to is it comes down to action. And look, I could share all kind of quotes with you, right? You know, I could share this, practice what you preach. You know, if you talk the talk, then you got to walk the walk. Practice the way you play, because you're going to play the way you practice. But here's what I want you to understand. Before any of these statements have ever been made, Jesus said it first. Do you know that Jesus said it first? I'm going to show you that. We're going to see that in Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Now, last week, we started chapter 8 of the Gospel of Luke with Jesus proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God. And Jesus invited disciples, and he invited a group of women to come in and serve with him in kingdom ministry. We saw that in Luke chapter 8, the first 15 verses. And what Jesus was doing was he was equipping and enabling men and women to go out and actually live the gospel message out loud. He didn't just invite them in to come listen and tickle their ears and them go, "Ooh, that was a good word." What Jesus was doing was he was teaching them and enabling them and equipping them to actually do something with that word. That's what he was doing. I mean, we got a lot of teachers in this building. We got a lot of teachers at Start Baptist Church. And I guarantee you, every one of these teachers will tell you they love their kids enough to teach them because they actually want them to put it into practice. They're not there just for the money. Marty's laughing. Some of my other teachers, maybe you are, but I know she ain't, right? They're not in it for the money. They're in it for what they know will happen to these kids. They'll grow up and they'll become adults. And they'll have to actually live in this world. And they want them to live with things that are going to help them in this life. And I believe that Jesus Christ, he wants that for his followers. He told a parable last week. We saw this. He told a parable about a sower and a seed and the soil. And we found out that Jesus was after the heart of people. And the reason he was after the heart of people is because he wanted them to experience God. He wanted them to experience God. He didn't want them to just know about God. He didn't want them to just know who God is. He wanted them to have an experiential relationship with God. He wanted them to be changed from the inside out. And listen, when God does that, it is evidence. It's evidence. When God changes your heart, he changes your life, and you will bear fruit of that change. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you. The Holy Spirit marks and seals you as a child of God, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is active. He's active. He's going to bear fruit in your life and my life. And so here's what I want you to see today, right? This is very important. Jesus didn't want people to simply possess the light of God. He actually wanted them to practice the light of God in their lives. He didn't want it to just be a possession. He wanted it to be a practice. He wanted it to be real life. And that's what we're going to see in this passage today. So look at it with me. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. Jesus said, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." And so Jesus has already shared one parable. Now he speaks in another parable. So Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's teaching his followers about the kingdom of God through these parables. Now, if you'll remember last week, Jesus said some will understand the parables and some won't. In other words, Jesus said, "I talk through parables because I want to reveal truth to those who really want truth. Those who just want to better themselves and make themselves okay and make themselves right, who are rejecting me as the Son of God, I'm going to conceal truth from them." And so that's why Jesus speaks through parables. And so now he speaks through another parable. But in this parable, he tells us what's going to happen. And here it is. The light of the lamp that he's talking about. The light of the lamp, that is actually spiritual illumination that we get from the Lord and from the Word. That's what he's talking about. The light that we get from God, from the Lord, and from the Word, it is a light that will allow us to illuminate the truth of God. And so this is about Jesus' teaching, right? It's about what it can do, not only to his followers, but what it should do through his followers when they hear it, with receptive hearts, and when they hear it, with the Spirit of God giving them understanding. I tell people this all the time. If I were to just sit down and read the Bible apart from the Holy Spirit, do you know what it would be for me? It would be just another book. That's what it would be for me. When I sit down and read the Bible, if I don't have the Spirit of God truly opening my mind, truly opening my heart, then I'm not really getting what I need to get from the Word of God. Listen, I talk to people all the time that read the Word of God. I talk to people all the time that know what the Scripture says, but they ain't living it out loud. And they're not believing it. And here's what I believe is the problem. It's the Spirit of God. Either a lack of, right? A lack of, or that person is choking the Spirit. Because that's what we do as Christ followers. As Christ followers, we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. You want to know why? Because God's got us. But many times what we do as Christ followers is we choke the Spirit in our lives. But now there are those who don't have the Spirit of God, and I'm going to tell you who they are. They're lost. They don't have a true relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, he's talking to all of these people that are crowded around him, and he's saying, hey, listen, if you truly want me, if you truly believe me, then I will give you that word, and that word will be a light. It'll be a light in you, and you will be a lamp that illuminates truth wherever you go. It might be in your home. It might be in your workplace. It might be in the restaurant. It might be out on the street. But that's who God wants you to be. That's who God wants me to be. And Jesus says this. He says, the more of God's word we hear, then the more of it we will receive. And I'm telling you, I believe that. Because man, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm reading the word, and then I get in my truck and I go to lunch or I go to make a visit, and all of a sudden a worship song comes on, or all of a sudden God reminds me of another passage of scripture, right? Matter of fact, I'm going to do it to you this morning, because right now we in the Gospel of Luke, but in just a few minutes we're going to jump to the book of James. And God did that. The Holy Spirit did that to me. And so the more of God's word we hear, the more of it we will receive. But let me just tell you something. There's a negative to that. Because the more of God's word we neglect, the more of it we lose. The more of God's word we neglect, the more of it we lose. Think about that for just a minute. Sometimes people that come to church, the only time they hear the word of God is on Sunday morning when a Sunday school teacher teaches it. Or when a pastor preaches it. And then guess what happens through the week? They're not in the word, and the word's not in them, and then they think, God don't love me. God's not concerned about my life. God doesn't think anything about me. But God, why are you doing this to me? Right? Isn't it crazy how fast we can just get away from the word of God and we just think God's gone? And I'm talking about Christ followers. So the more of God's word we hear, the more we are looking at it, listening to it, the more of it we will receive when those moments come. We'll start quoting scriptures when the circumstances aren't going our way. We'll start quoting scriptures when the struggle gets hard. But those of us that start questioning God and wondering where he's at and why he's doing this, I'm going to tell you, it's because we've already forgotten the word that we heard on Sunday, or the word that we were taught by our parents when we were children, or the words we were taught in vacation Bible school, because that's the only time we actually looked at it. That's truth. And Jesus is teaching that. The more we hear the word, the more the word is in us, the more of it he'll give us. But when we start neglecting that word, we're going to lose even the word we think we have. That's what Jesus was teaching. I love, there's a pastor that I read a lot. His name is Thabiti Anwible, and he says this. He says, when we develop an appetite for Scripture, when we develop an appetite for Scripture, a hunger for it, God will feed us. Have you ever seen a mama bird with her babies? Right? When those little baby birds are chirping, that mama knows them babies is hungry. Guess what that mama bird's going to do? She fixing to go get them some food. Now, it could be one of two things. She just wants them to shut up. Or let's get real. She wants to feed them because she wants to see them grow up. She wants to feed them so that they'll grow up and they'll be able to leave the nest and fly on their own. So that's what he says. He says, when we develop an appetite for the scripture, a hunger for it, God will feed us. But it's not like we hear the word at one time and just can live on it for the rest of our lives. We have to keep replenishing the store, stocking the shelves, if you will, of our hearts so that we can continue to feed and continue to grow. I love that. What a powerful statement. Maybe that's why Paul said to the church in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, some versions say let the message of Christ, let it do what? Dwell in you how? Richly. Come on now. Let the word of Christ, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Why? So that you can teach, so that you can encourage, so that you can admonish, so that you can hold accountable the people around you. The word of God matters. And if you're a Christ follower, you better be hungry for it. And if you're not hungry for it, you better backpedal a little bit and say, who am I really? Did I make some emotional response See, I don't want to go backwards and preach what I've already preached, but you go back and look at the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Because only one of them seeds actually made an eternal impact for the kingdom of God, and it was the one that was prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive the seed. It took, it germinated, and it grew, and it bore fruit. None of the other ones did. So Jesus said we need to listen carefully to God's word, right? How do we do that? We need to listen to God's word carefully, and here's how we do that. We do that prayerfully. How can I listen? Hey, Brother Joe, how can I listen carefully to the word of God? You do that prayerfully. In other words, when you open up that word, before you even look at the black and red ink, you say, Lord, I need you. I am praying right now that you would silence everything that's going on in my life so that I can focus on you and your word and actually hear it. Hear it with a heart and an attitude of applying it. So we need to listen to the words, the word of the Lord carefully, and we do that prayerfully. And what I mean by that is that we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit to truly understand the word of God and to truly apply it to our lives. And so as we read and as we listen to the word, then we can actually put it into practice. And again, that's not my words. That's Jesus' words. You ready? Listen to this. Beginning in verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Listen to what he said in verse 21. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word, and say it with me, and put it into practice. Say those words again. Put it into practice. That's what he said. Now, if you look at this just at face value, you look at that and you're going, man, that's some pretty harsh words. Man, look at how he's talking about his mama and his brothers. Now, if you look at it, Mark's gospel in chapter 3 tells us that Jesus' family actually went to where Jesus was because they thought he was out of his mind. See, you got to look at it in parallel. You got to look at the whole picture, right? All of the gospels. So in Mark chapter 3, they went there to see Jesus because they thought he was out of his mind. And he makes a powerful statement also in the gospel of Mark. In Mark chapter 3, verses 33 and 34, Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? And then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does, that's an important word, whoever does God's will is my brother and sisters and mother. Again, what a powerful statement. And when you look at these two gospel passages side by side, and then you look at the passage in John 7, which is the same thing, we can see the heart of Jesus' comments. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, okay? Because I've dug deep and I've prayed. Jesus was not disrespecting his family. That's not what he was doing. He was not disrespecting his mom and his brothers. What he was doing was he was honoring those who walk by faith obediently. He was not disrespecting mom, not disrespecting brothers. What he was doing was he was honoring those who walk by faith obediently. I love how Dr. David Jeremiah puts it. Dr. David Jeremiah says Jesus wanted the crowd to know that anyone can have access to him through obedient faith. Human pedigree may have certain advantages in some cases, but only faith-empowered obedience matters in a person's relationship with God. I love that, because here's what I want you to know. You may look up here and see Brother Andy leading praise, or you may see this praise team, or you may see a deacon come up and say, and you may see us doing these things, and maybe in your mind you're going, well, you know, that's Brother Jeff, or that's Brother Andy, or that's Brother Noah, or oh, that's Brother Jeremy. But I'm going to just tell you something. Everybody in this room has equal access to God through Jesus Christ. And a title, and how much experience, and how much success, and how much money you've given, none of that floats a boat on the ocean of God. None of it. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose from the grave for us. Every one of us in this room. So there's no excuse. No excuse. And that's the point Jesus was making. Jesus knew who his mama was. He knew who his brothers were. He wasn't disrespecting them. What he was doing was he was teaching everybody in there that, hey, I am here for you. I am here for you, and you matter to me like my mama matters to me. You matter to me like my brother matters to me. And if you are faithful, if you believe in me, if you believe that I am God's son, if you believe in me as Messiah, then that relationship matters just as much. So let me fast forward a little bit. One of Jesus's half-brothers was there. And do you know what his name was? James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. But it is very likely that James did not initially follow Jesus. It's very likely, and we see it in the scriptures, that James didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. John chapter 7 verse 5 tells us this. Even his own brothers did not believe in him. So I don't want you to take Jeff's word for it. I want you to hear what God's word says. John chapter 7, verse 5 says, even his own brothers did not believe in him. That's what the Bible says. However, Jesus lived perfectly. They saw it. And then Jesus died sacrificially on the cross, and they saw it. And James saw Jesus after he was resurrected. You're going, hold up, Brother Joe. How do you know that? Well, because the Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7 tells us that Jesus appeared to James. So do you think that changed James' heart? Do you think it changed James' life? Here's the right answer. Yes, it did. Because there is a book in the Bible that was written by James. And James had some pretty powerful words about faith in action. What did Jesus say he wanted people to do with that light? He wanted them to put it into practice. What is the light? It's the word of God. It's the relationship they have with God through Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want you to just know that. I want you to put it into practice. And I believe James thought about that. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God led him to write this. As a matter of fact, James gave us these powerful words. Are you ready? And I'm only going to share a couple of passages. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What does he say? Do what it says. You know what James is doing? James is borrowing the copyright of God through Jesus Christ, and he's basically saying, hey, put it into practice. I don't want to hear you quote scripture. I want to see you live scripture. Oh, that's fine. Put it on a shirt and wear it. You know what's better than that? Doing it. Doing it. Man, we cool about buying them pretty shirts, right colors, and all them cool words, Start Baptist Church, Jesus loves me, God is love, connect, love, serve. And here's the thing, you can wear that all day long, but if you ain't doing it, you're a liar. If you ain't doing it, you know what you are? Jesus called the Pharisees this. You're a hypocrite. And listen, I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to me too. He goes on and listen to this. You know what James says in chapter 2? Listen to this, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? You know what deeds are? Actions, works, fruit. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Like he knows the answer, and I think you do too. Can that kind of faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? And he says it in verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by Action is what? Dead. Dead. If I were to look at the evidence in your life, and I could only use one of two words to describe your faith, which word would I use? Alive or dead? If you were to look at my life and to look at my faith that I say I have, and you can only use one of two words to describe it, what would it be? Would it be alive or would it be dead? That's pretty powerful. See, at Start Baptist Church, here's what we want, okay? I'm gonna go back to this. At Start Baptist Church, here's what we want. As a staff, as leadership, and I believe as a body, what we want is we want to be connected to God. We want to be connected to God. Do you know how you connect to God? You connect to God through Jesus Christ. You want me to help you? John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You want to be connected to God? You got to come to Jesus. You got to come to Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. It's not sign up for this team or that team. It's not, oh, write a check. Oh, I'll buy a shirt. Oh, I'll show up every Sunday. Now, listen to me. If you want to connect to God, you got to go through Jesus. But if you go through Jesus, then guess what? You're going to want to love and you're going to want to serve. You want to know why? Because that's what Jesus did. If you surrender to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that means he's got your soul for eternity and he's also got your life for eternity. And eternity starts right now. You're living eternity right now. And so if you have a faith, a true saving faith, which means you have repented of your sin and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he lived perfectly, died sacrificially and rose from the grave, if you are surrendered to him as your Savior and your Lord, I'm just going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God ain't going to leave you alone. You want to know why? Because you belong to him. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1, you are mine. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, you are created for my glory. You're going to hear that, and you're going to know that, understand that, you're going to embrace that, and then your life is going to prove that. Your life is going to prove that, or at least it should. And so at Start Baptist Church, that's what we want. We want to be connected to God and connected to one another, and what we want to do is we want to love God, and we know that the way we love God is to love the people in front of us. And to love those people like Jesus loves us, unashamed, right? With no motive other than just to love everybody. Everybody. Not picking and choosing, because I'm going to tell you, you read the scriptures, Jesus didn't pick and choose. He loved everybody that came in front of him, even the Pharisees. Why would he keep telling them the truth if he didn't love them? He keeps telling them the truth, keeps telling them the truth. Because I believe he wanted to see them saved. That's not my word, that's God's word. Go look at Thessalonians. God wants all people to come to the knowledge of saving faith, that no one would perish. That's God's will. And so this is what it means to put it into practice. We can't just look at it. We can't just talk about it. We have to do something with it. I remember Brother Jeff Smart. Y'all know Brother Jeff Smart when he used to preach here. He used to give these handouts. Now, I do that on Sunday nights, and I do that on Wednesday nights, and I don't do it in here a lot. But he used to have these handouts. You remember what Brother Jeff Smart would say? He'd say, if you write it down, you're twice as likely to remember it. And I agree with that 100%. Teachers will tell you that. The reason we make students write it down and keep writing it down is because the more they write it down, the more likely they are to remember it. But here's the thing. If you don't put it into practice, what does it matter? You can have every handout I've ever given. You can have all them handouts. Brother Jeff, hey, I got some. I got some of them handouts in my office. Matter of fact, I use them sometimes in my scriptures, in my messages. You can have all them handouts you want. You can look at them, read them, and go, woo, I remember that. Woo, that was good. But if you ain't living it, what does it matter? If you're not actually doing what it says, what does it matter? I love the fact that people are hungry. Man, we got Bible studies going on everywhere. At the fire department, in Halley Hall, Wednesday mornings, Tuesdays, Thursdays. Man, we got Bible studies going on everywhere. We got people that are feeding on the word, but here's the thing. Are you doing something with that word? Is the word doing something to you and through you? Because that's what we need. We need people that are actually living the word out loud. Not just listening to it, but doing it. So here we go. Two questions, right? Two questions, and I'm finished. Do you truly believe in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? And before you say yes, what's the evidence? What's the evidence? What's the evidence that you truly believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Are you bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? What will your coworkers say if I came in and asked them that question? What would your family say? Hey, listen, you want to know the truth about you? Go ask Brandon, Jamie, and Chelsea. Because your kids are telling the truth over there. I learned the hard way. I had four of them. So I could say, yeah, that one's lying. But when all four of them say the same thing, uh-oh. Maybe they ain't lying. Kids tell the truth, don't they? I think there's a TV show about that. Kids say the craziest things or something like that, and they do. But are you bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God? What's the evidence that Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your Lord? And then the final question, do you simply possess what you think is faith? Do you simply possess what you think is faith, or are you practicing a true and saving faith? Are you practicing a true and saving faith? Because that's what matters. You want to know what Jesus said? I believe it's four of the most important words of that passage. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. So you can walk out of here today and you can go tell people, man, I heard a good word. Man, we studied Luke chapter 8. I saw a good word. Man, it was good. And then Monday comes. And then Tuesday comes. And then an unexpected bill comes, or an unexpected doctor's assessment comes. Or a coworker at work squeezes you in the wrong way. You know what I always tell people about when you get squeezed in this life? Whatever's inside you is coming out. If you're filled with bitterness and anger, if you're filled with pride when you get squeezed in this life, guess what's coming out? Bitterness and anger and pride. You know what happens if you're filled with the Word of God? You know what happens if you're filled with the Spirit of God? When you get squeezed in this life, the Word of God is going to come out. The Spirit of God is going to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And fruit that will glorify your Father in heaven. That's the truth of God's Word. What kind of faith do you possess? But more than that, are you practicing?